Blog Talk Radio.
Time is taking flight. Now we have to tell if it's worth the fight.
Welcome, Jeremiah 31:3. The Lord appeared to him from far away. I loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you. Again, I will build you, and you shall be built, O Virgin of Israel. Welcome to the program, folks. And somebody asked me this, and I've said it before, but it's been a while. But the starting song is from a group by the name of Blind Divine. It's from their Desire to Destroy album. It's called Time is on Your Side. And way back in the day when I started this a long time ago, they had a bunch of songs you could buy for like $5, $10, or whatever, and use on your shows, and that was one of them. And it just sounded cool. So today on the program, we're going to talk about the Religious Restoration Act. You might be wondering what that really is. Well, what that really is Pence's law that was passed federally and introduced by a Democrat in New York called Chuck Schumer, and was passed by a unanimous Democratic House of Representatives and a nearly unanimous Democratic Senate in 1993. But all of a sudden, people are up in arms. All these companies that are doing business in countries where they stone and kill gay people are now boycotting Indiana because of this law, which makes no sense. I mean, why? How can you do business in a place that will kill a gay person like Nicaragua, but you're not going to do business in Indiana just because I have a business, and if it's against my religious beliefs, I may not make you a wedding cake? But you're going to keep doing business in a country that will kill that person for being gay. But because someone does not want to make them a wedding cake or a tuxedo, you're going to stop. That makes no sense. Also, I want to bring up something kind of controversial. There's evidence, and I was watching some stuff on this and looking stuff up on this over the week, where there's supposedly rumors that Joan Rivers was killed when she came out and adamantly said, because they asked her, well, do you think we'll ever have a gay president or a lesbian first lady or president or a lesbian president or whatever? And she goes, what do you mean? We already have one. Barack Obama is gay and Michelle Obama is a trainee of LIST. Do I have to repeat it? Michelle is a transsexual. Barack Obama is gay. And after she said that, not too long, she had a botched surgery and died. And that what she had done was very routine. You know, that's why there's lots of rumors that she was killed. Also, this past weekend was the start of the Verizon IndyCar Series with the Firestone Grand Prix of St. Petersburg. Juan Pablo Montoya and Penske came out ahead, but my man Sebastian Bourdais was in sixth, and my thoughts on that is the season starts for the Verizon IndyCar Series, and also it was a bye week for the Premier League, and my thoughts on what's going to happen in the last couple weeks in the Premier League, and who will be on top. So welcome to the program, folks. Oh, wow. I mean, I don't get it. I don't really get this because, you know, I don't know if anyone's heard about this, but this is going on in Texas. There are spots in Texas where they are trying to set up a community based on Sharia law. And what that means is I can go down there, I can sit there, and I can molest kids, I can beat up women. Oh, you can't do anything to me because that's legal under Sharia law. That's what's going to happen with this Religious Freedom Act. They're going to be able to do whatever they want, and you won't. So I have to do services to people that stone women and kill. I don't want, you may, put it to you this way. My fiance has family members that go to a church that don't believe in musical instruments. They don't have anything at their church. Because I guess if you go into the Bible, it talks about how Satan supposedly was made out of instruments or something, and they're totally against that. But, okay, I don't want them to, if I went there to have a wedding or have a service or do something, I wouldn't bring in a musical instrument because I don't want to infringe on their religious freedom. I don't expect, I'm not this way. If someone wants a, if a gay couple wants a cake, I'll make it cake. I'm not gay. I'm not going to be getting married. They are. But if it's against my religious beliefs, then I should have the right to say, you know what? I'm not going to do it. Or pretty soon you're going to be forced. Well, I don't care. You're going to have to make this guy a tuxedo. I don't have it. Well, he asked for a tuxedo and you have to do it. Okay, we're not set up to make tuxedos. I don't care. You can't refuse service to anyone. But you're going to have to. You're going to have to, at some point, draw the line and say, hey, there has to be some right to refuse something from somebody, because then I'm in a healthcare community. And pretty soon, you're going to have to, okay, we have to spend $100 million because we got to do all this stuff to make sure that we're compliant with all these different religions and all these, because, you know, we got to make sure we have halal meat so that we can, because we have a guy that supports, you know, Islam, and we got to make sure that we have meat that complies to Sharia law just for him, and, you know, and that's what it's going to come down to if we can't refuse. If we can't say, it's not being discriminate, we're not discriminating, but if you don't believe in something or don't support something, whatever it is, I want to make all these Democrats have to comply with all these conservative views. Well, if you don't, you're discriminating. See, Democrats are probably the most discriminating people out there. There was a study done a couple years ago that I read where they said that a Democrat is more likely to befriend you and no longer be associated with you because of your political beliefs than a conservative. And conservatives, hey, you know what? You support Obama. I don't know why, I don't know how, but you do, that's great. I'm still your friend. I'll try to show you why you're a Tyson chicken and we're all getting food from Tyson, only the conservatives know that we're going to end up in a slaughterhouse with our heads chopped off, and Democrats don't realize that, and we're trying to get away from that. You know, I'm going to show you things to try to show you that they're screwing you, yeah, Democrats and Republicans. If you want to hear me, that's great. If you don't, you know, because that's like Glenn Beck said on his program, like, I think a year ago. He goes, we're all Tyson chickens. And what do you think those chickens at Tyson would be doing if they knew what happened in the end? Yeah, they're taking food from the farmer, but if they knew that they were going to get their heads chopped off, they'd probably be not wanting to take that food. They'd probably be trying to get away from the farm, trying to get away from that factory, so that they don't get killed. See, conservatives realize what's going on. They're going to stop making the penny because it costs more than the... I want to have value in my currency. I want to sit there and say, okay, hey, there's 10 cents of melt value in this penny, making it valuable. Oh, let's make our... Well, why don't we just take and make our coins out of wood so that they're very easily... duplicatable, and, you know, I mean, what the heck, you know? I mean, the government just keeps printing more and more and more and more money. I mean, what the heck, you know, right? You know, monopoly money is the exact same as American money. The only difference is one you believe in. One you believe has perceived value. One doesn't. But, I mean, it's just so ridiculous that something... I mean, what is it, like 20-some states have this law, and it's technically been in place via federal law for since 93, and now all of a sudden everyone's got to hair up their butt Oh, my thing hurts. Oh, you're going to discriminate. No. What does it say we're going to discriminate anybody? If you disagree with that person, then don't do business. If you are against gays or lesbians, you have that right to be against them. Just like you may not agree with the Aryan Brotherhood or the KKK or the Black Panthers, but they have that right to be out there and have that viewpoint. At the same time, the liberal doesn't want that. Well, then don't shop at that store. That store is going to sit there and say, hey, my beliefs are, I don't believe in gays. It's against what my religious belief is. I don't want you to do anything that contradicts your beliefs. Don't do anything that's going to contradict my belief. You know, it's not a function of, well, because you're a discriminator. Because you won't serve a gay. Well, that's my choice. I guess, what, don't you want freedom in this country? Probably not. I mean, I don't think Democrats want freedom in this country. You know, well, you can't wear an American flag shirt to school because you're going to offend somebody. Well, then who is it? Because they shouldn't live here. Well, it's insensitive because there's actually a school, and I think it was last year, that kids wore American flag shirts and American flag hats and bandanas to school on Cinco de Mayo, and they got, like, in trouble big time because that's insensitive to Mexicans. I'm like, well, if they're in this country, they're Americans now. They should be supporting America. I have worked with several Mexicans that say, I'm like, all right, it's Cinco de Mayo. So we don't celebrate that. Only certain Mexicans do. It's only a certain part of Mexico that celebrates that, because that it's like a Independence Day in a certain part of Mexico. And if you're not from there, you don't celebrate it. And none of them did. And they taught me a lot. I'm like, I thought it was like a Mexican holiday. Well, yeah, kind of, but not everyone celebrates it. So this notion that, I mean, when my parents came to this, when my ancestors came to this country from Poland and the Ukraine and other parts of the world, they were proud to be an American. It wasn't like, okay, well, no, I'm not going to learn English, you know, whatever. You know, hey, you got to cater to me. You know, who cares about America? They learned English. You were ashamed if you didn't know English. Now, it's the other way around. Oh, look at this insensitive bastard. He's not learning Spanish. And you want to be, you're looked down upon. They're not trying to learn English. They're not trying to, you know, support America and be proud of it. But you're the one that's looked down upon. Okay, I'm not going to go to Mexico and, like, okay, learn English. I'm going to wave an American flag. You don't like it? Excuse me. But that's what's going on in this world. You know, it's all about discrimination. We can't discriminate anyone. We can't make anyone be offensive. We can't offend somebody. That's wrong. The Constitution, Bill of Rights and all that never says you're not going to be offended. But apparently, I guess now they are offended. It's just nuts because I don't know. I just don't get it. I really don't. Especially when you have all these Democrats that are against the law that was passed by a Republican. No, it wasn't. The new law is, all these Democrats are against the law that was passed by a Republican now, but that Democrat law, oh, see, we got to have freedom in this country. But now it's, oh, you're discriminating. It's amazing, because like in 2000, I think it was Hillary Clinton, marriage is between a man and a woman. And they played this clip, and who do you think said this and all this stuff? And probably Sarah Palin, a Republican, said this comment and said, in 2000, that was Hillary Clinton. What, Hillary Clinton said that? Yeah, in 2000, I think it was, or 2001, Hillary Clinton talked about how a relationship is only between a man and a woman, a marriage. Gays, now all of a sudden that gays are a huge voting block. She's like a light switch flipped her viewpoint. I'm one of these people, I look at it like this. Two guys together are gay. Two women together are lesbians. If you look at it from that standpoint, if two men want to get together and two women want to get together, you don't call two guys getting together lesbians. You call them gay. You call two women lesbians. They should be called something different when they get married. A marriage is between a man and a woman, and they should be able to have the same rights as me. Me and Melissa are getting married. A gay couple or a lesbian couple should have the same rights as us, but call it something different for two guys getting together and call it different so that you can identify, oh, this term refers to two women that are getting hitched. This term refers to two guys getting hitched so that they have something special. That way, it denotes the different commencement of, it's not being discriminatory because I said that to someone, so you're against gays and lesbians getting married? I said, I never said that. That word marriage refers to a man and a woman. They can have every single right, every single thing that a normal couple has, but just change the wording so that the name you give it, when you say this name, name A, like let's say communion, that refers to two guys getting together. A togetherness refers to two women getting together. So that if I say one word or the other, I'm referring to two guys or two girls. Not discriminating, not saying they can't get married or whatever. You don't call two women together straight. That's never going to change because it's always, I just thank God that a lot of people don't really watch the news because the lamestream media, I call it lamestream, Communist News Network, I'm glad they have no ratings because they try to push all these agendas that never go anywhere because no one watches them, because we don't really have media anymore. They have an agenda and they're going to push it no matter what. It's not about being objective. It's not about, hey, George Bush passed the Patriot Act. That's not right. No, it's of course it was wrong because it was, if a Democrat had done that same thing, you wouldn't have heard a word about that. What do you mean Patriot Act? But because George Bush passed it, it's wrong, period. So. If we took the Bill of Rights and threw them right out the damn window. Because that's what frustrates me, because I have all these friends that, I can't wait till a Republican gets in the White House again, because you guys aren't going to diss them one bit. You guys aren't going to say anything negative against them. I'm like, we said all kinds of negative stuff against Bush, but apparently they don't believe that, so whatever, It's the double standard. They can't believe that we can be, unlike them, objective. Because they can't say anything good about a Republican, we can't say anything negative about one. I've always been an independent type person. I've been more conservative Republican, but I've always been the independent. Okay, ever since I can vote, so you understand, folks, I've always looked, I believe the Republicans are going to screw me the least. I don't like either of them. If I have a choice, you can't. I would love to have on the ballot none of the above, because I would have marked none of the above for every time I've been able to vote for a presidential candidate. I would have marked none of them, because they were both wrong. But you tell that to a conservative, you know, that's okay, but you tell it to some of my Democratic friends, or whatever, yeah, okay, just wait till a Republican gets back in there, you'll be kissing your ass night and day. I never have. Why would I start now? Unless someone comes in here and, okay, we're abolishing the Federal Reserve. As of 2016, we're going to have gold and silver back in our currency. I'm going to suspend pay for all congressmen and senators, debt in line. Used to, you know, but then they'd be killed in about 2 minutes. They'd be assassinated because, you know, if they started to have to live under the same rules that we live under, you know, if a politician had to follow the same rules that me and my girl Melissa sitting right next to me had to follow, they wouldn't even be in politics. They wouldn't do it. They're into it because it's a big money laundering operation. Well, I remember watching a CBS investigation where they said they showed all these politicians that bought this stock at $10 a, like $10 a stock or something, like even less than that, was like $5 a stock, went up to like $400. Then they all sold it, and then it went right back down. And they basically had insider information and were insider trading, which you cannot do. But as a politician, you can get away with that stuff. You know, when you have people that they showed at the White House and at the, like, the state buildings and stuff that were getting six-figure salaries, and they were just errand boys for, like, congressmen and senators and getting them ice and, you know, oh, I ordered Jimmy John's. It'll be at the front door in 10 minutes. Can you go pick it up? Yes, sir. Oh, yeah, I need some medicine. Can you pick it up at the pharmacy? And they'd run to the CVS right down the street, and they were getting six figures. You know, that stuff's the stuff that's got to end. You know, this. Well, let me see here. If I can make a lighter for 10 cents and sell it to the government for $50 to give to the military, cha-ching. I mean, it's amazing. It's not a Republican or Democrat thing when you have breakfasts. And these breakfasts, oh yeah, for like continental breakfast, charging $75 a person. And they spend like $50,000 on a continental breakfast with like tea, juice, coffee, and water, and like bagels and croissants. And Danishes. Okay, I don't know about many of you, but most of the hotels, that's called a free breakfast. And they and the government pays like $75 per person to have that. But, oh, see, that's, you know, it's the Republicans, you know. He was a Republican caterer, you know, how, or a Democrat would do the same damn thing. Just drives me to drink, you know, all this stuff that goes on day after day. You know, that's what, and I guess I'm on this rant because I don't understand how a law that's been in place federally since 93, why everyone's got a hair up their butt now all of a sudden. You know, pull the tampon out of your butt, okay, or whatever's up there. It's just ridiculous. Apple is 100% against what's going on in Indiana, but they still do business in countries like Nicaragua where they kill gays, and in Russia where displays of affection are banned in public with gays. Gee, so I'm not going to make invitations for a gay couple in Indiana, and you're going to go ballistic on me, but you're going to buy gas from a company that gets its oil from a country that kills gays. Where's the ideology there? Where's the logic? This half an hour is brought to you by Captain Common Sense. That's me. Yes, sir. I'm trying to bring common sense to the radio, so... But I mean, like when, who was it? It was Barack Obama in 2006. He said, it's fiscally irresponsible to spend. And now what's he done? Oh, we need to have stimulus bill on top of I have friends that don't think the government spent enough money. That's why we're not at a. That's why we haven't fixed the problem. That's why it's. And then there's other people that believe that, oh, we have a 5% unemployment rate. Everything's going wonderful and great. Who do you believe? I want to get into something that was very, very interesting that I noticed. I was going through the internet. I work in an assisted living community, and I have a bunch of friends that are medical and dentists and stuff, and I thought it was interesting when they talked about how Joan Rivers had died and how supposedly when she was on the operating table and they were doing stuff, they had someone else working at the hospital came in and him with the entourage, yada, 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 and I want to do this and this and this, and they just let him. But there's evidence that she was killed because Joan Rivers came out a while ago and said that Michelle Obama and Barack, both of those, well, Obama, because they asked her, is anybody in the, do you see a lesbian or gay president in our future? And she goes, what do you mean? We already have one. Obama is gay. Michelle is a tranny. Point blank. End of freaking list. Do I have to repeat myself? Michelle is a tranny. And she was adamant. I mean, damn, they're wanting to take the lady and choke her to death. I've told you, how many times is it going to have? How many times am I going to have to say it to let you realize that she is a man that was now a woman? And there's, you know, because she was adamant in a couple other cases where she came out that, and there's many, many people that have come out that said, hey, Obama's gay. Michelle's a tranny. I wonder this one thing, because if they would have came out with that, they could have used that again, because not only would I be racist because I disagree with Obama, I would also be a discriminator because I'm a hate monger because he would have been gay dating a tranny woman. I would have been anti-gay. I'd have been a discriminator, a hater. I'd have been racist. They would have had all kinds of things they could have thrown at a conservative like me just because I disagree with him. Not because of the fact that he is half white because his mother was white. You know, I have tons of friends that are transgender and gay and all that. That's great. But they are. You know, if they want to be, that's fine. But I've always wondered how can we be racist against Barack Obama when he's half white? I don't get it. Wow. But it just makes you wonder, because, I mean, I've seen videos that show I just lost my train of thought, but it's just, I don't get how people can sit there and be like, you know, because I have friends that, like, I'm convincing them I think, because they're black, that I don't care what you are. You're a human being to me. But I just want to have this a world where you have freedom. To where you're not forced to do, when you have to do this, you have to do that. No, I don't. Well, you have to hire him and you're, no, I don't. He's a, you know, thank God they have laws that keep, like, sex offenders away from people in certain situations. Or you may end up having to be taking and saying, you know what? Oh, Christ. I have to hire this child molester in my daycare. I can't discriminate. And there's nothing in the books that says that he can't be within 100 yards or so of kids, so that's the problem we're going to have, folks. You're gonna be having to hire a child molester in a daycare just because you can't discriminate. And if you don't think that's the case, then you don't know what you're talking about, because that's what's going to happen, because it's already going on in Texas where there are people that are trying to claim Sharia law over American law. Like, you can't tell me I'm under Sharia law. I can do that. I don't care if it's not legal under your... I don't care if I'm violating federal law. I can't be violating federal law. I don't go by American law. I go by Sharia law. And they're trying to get backing, government backing, and people to stand up for them to have that, so that they can do things that are against our America, but get away with it because in their little town of 100,000 people, they live under Sharia law. Gays will be stoned there. Kids will be molested. Women will be raped. But it's legal because we live under Sharia law, even though we're in America. That's where it's heading, folks. And that's what scares me. And it's just very interesting because there is a lot of funky stuff around Joan Rivers' death. And when she came out, she wasn't negative. She's like, we already have a gay president. Get over it, you know. She is a tranny. Wake up. It's not negative. It's being realistic. I would still disagree with Obama. It wouldn't be because he's whatever, you know. If he wants to go down on King, if he wants to hang out with Kinky Kelly and the Sexy Stud, yo. Where's Kelly? Right here. Who's the sexy stud? I am. If you ever saw Clerks, you know what I'm talking about. The donkey scene. Interspecies erotica. But, I mean, seriously. You know, if they want to do that, that's fine. But if it's going to, you know, it's sort of like the old... What was that? It's from the movie Hoosiers, where he's like, it goes, there's two types of people. One who walks around naked outside, and the other one who does the same thing in my living room. Translate, he goes, well, one really don't matter, but the other one you're kind of forced to deal with. If I wanna make you some clothing or do whatever, or cake or whatever, okay. I don't have a problem doing that. But I don't want you to make me a cake for something that you don't agree with. You should have that right to say, hey, you know what? You have that right to say, hey, I don't support that. I don't want to have a swastika. I'm not going to do that. And you don't have to. So, and that's something that really gets me, because these liberals, I guess, don't want that. They want you to be forced to do whatever. No. Let me tell you something. I would probably not choose a business that if they said, hey, we're not going to make a cake for you because you're a gay person. We're not going to make your birthday cake. Sorry. We're not going to get you flowers. I probably wouldn't use that bakery. And it probably wouldn't last. But they should have that right to say no. It shouldn't be, well, you're going to have to buy $50,000 in equipment to make this thing because you have to, because the government says so. Here is a law passed by the government, and you're going to be forced to molest little kids because in this town, that's what they do in Sharia law. You know, I want to be able to say no. I'm not, I have the right to say, because I wonder what's going to happen, like in Texas, You know, when, okay, well, who's right? He broke U.S. law, but then he's claiming he's protected under Sharia law. Which one's going to put that one in your pipe and smoke it? Because if someone ends up getting away with molesting a little girl because of he's okay by Sharia law, yeah, I'd move out of this country so damn fast. Well, first of all, I'd make sure that boy went to prison so he got killed by all the... Because not many people realize that. You can be a serial killer, but if you... But they hate molesters. Yeah, they may be a serial killer, but when it comes to their... If they have a kid, the kid means the world to them, and they would go ballistic, and they would beat to death a child molester. Yeah, that's one thing I do watch MSNBC for is that lockup show. That's it. Oh, well, every once in a while I like to watch Chris Matthews when I want a good laugh. He's my Jon Stewart. He's my, when I'm depressed and I need a good laugh and I need to see, okay, what kind of BS is he spewing that people actually, well, only 7% believe it. But that's one of the problems. Fox has the highest percentage of believability at 29%. They are the most believed network, but 29%, they are the highest. CNN and some of them are like 7% of the people believe what they say. Like MSNBC, I think, is the lowest. But, I mean, but then, like I say, time and time again, most people do not watch the news. They get their news from Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert. And when Stephen Colbert comes to CBS, he can't bring that show on. Johnny Carson was so successful in late night. And this is the last little bit of this before going into sports. But Johnny Carson was successful because he made fun of everybody. He made fun of Kennedy or whoever was in office. You know, whether it was Nixon or Reagan. He made fun of everybody. Republican, Democrat. He poked fun at them all. It wasn't a political show. And I guess I've kind of gotten tuned up because I liked David Letterman for years. But now, yeah, I guess he's always been left. But now you see it a lot more. He's bringing a lot of the, almost like the Jon Stewart type, like political type stuff to where, you know, he poked fun at everyone. Now it's more on the right that he pokes fun at, you know. Not that he doesn't make fun of the left, but you can tell he's more left, way more left than back in the day. I guess because now that he is leaving, he can do whatever he wants. Go in and do fire me, I'm leaving. But, you know, and like they said, and I don't know how I got into this rant, but anywho, you know, Stephen Colbert, I want to watch, like, the late night talk shows to sit back and just get away from it all. And if you're going to watch that show and be like, okay, yep, he's left. Comedy Central thing, but only it's on CBS. He's going to flunk, so he's going to be out of there so fast. He's going to be... So... Wow. Got about 20 minutes left or so in the program, and it's just, I'm just like, I've been, because this is like the big, big, big issue, this stuff with Mike Pence and all this crap, and of course, everybody, and since I'm a Hoosier born and raised, you know, like, what do you think, and what, you know, it's like, really, like, my mom said it best, and she's like, we've got more important things to worry about than if you're going to take and make a gay guy a cake. Amen. Oh, my God. He might not make him a cake. Oh, that silly buns. I better not shop there because he might not make him a cake. Oh, my. I'm going to slap him in the wrist because, you know, I mean, that's just... I mean, all I wanted was some flowers and he would not make me a bouquet. All I wanted was a rainbow... Little plastic stick that has a rainbow on it. That's all I wanted in my flower bouquet. And he said, no. If I wasn't gay, I could have had one of them. But he said, if I'm gay, I can't have that. Folks, we got a of a lot more bigger problems to deal with than that. You know, America's trying to make deals with Iran. Okay? Hello? They want to blow us out of the water. But who cares? You know, Iran's our friend. They just want nuclear weapons to annihilate everyone on this planet, but who cares? Yes, sir. That's where, but I mean, seriously. All you hear about is this Religious Freedom Act that, like, I just laugh. I do. Because it's like, you know, but, you got this religion. I mean, like, the stuff with Iran going on and Nicaragua and the elections and stuff, and there's a lot of things going on in this world, but you don't hear about it because everyone's too worried about whether Indiana's going to serve a gay guy. You know, when, well, I'm more concerned about is Iran going to have uranium? Are they going to build nuclear weapons? That's what I want to know. Yeah. Yipper. That's what I want to know about, because that's a priority to me, you know, the fact that America is getting away from its biggest ally, Israel, one of its best friends. Oh, but this country hasn't changed. You know, this isn't the country I grew up in. This country, we supported God. That's why I can't believe, like, NBC actually has, like, the Bible story and stuff on there. That's what I about crapped my pants when I saw that. I'm like, really? NBC? Jesus? Holy cow. You know what? I mean, what is, I don't get it. But that's great. I'm glad. Don't get me wrong. I'm glad, but I'm just, like, shocked. You know, it'd be like seeing Obama go over and get baptized in the Jordan River. I'd be surprised. I'd be glad, but I'd be surprised. Oh, wow. As we move on, folks, what a St. Petersburg race to start the Verizon IndyCar Series season opener. What a race. It's, I wish they did more races like NASCAR, but one thing I think they try to do, and NASCAR tries to do, is they try to divide them up and so that, because I hate when it's like IndyCar races going on at the same time as the NASCAR. It's like, well, which one do I listen to? Because I like them both. I mean, I have a Yahoo Sports app, and I recommend it, especially if you like sports, and that thing's gone off before for the Detroit Tigers at the same time as IndyCar, the same time as NASCAR, and the same time as the New York Red Bulls. It's like, gee, what do I watch? Because the Tigers are on, the New York Red Bulls are playing, IndyCar and NASCAR is on at the same time, and I'm off for once. So I'm like, so if I can get the Detroit Tigers game, you know, I'll flip between like two, three of them, because usually I can't get the New York Red Bulls unless I have the, it's like the Madison Square Garden channel or something. But I think it's going to be a great, great, great season. My man Sebastian Bourdais came in sixth. Yep, I love Alex, but he won't race in that anymore. He does like a NASCAR series in Canada, which I couldn't even tell you what's going on with that. But It was incredible the last couple laps. Juan Pablo Montoya won the race. If you didn't catch it, try to find a replay. You know, he came back like with near the end and won the thing. And it goes back to, I was talking about this earlier, because I was getting into it with a girl at work and in good conversation. I'm like, well, they need to have like a set point that you get if you win the race, like 20 points or whatever. Then you get a percentage so that, well, how come he got the same points as me for winning the race when I led 110 laps of a 120-lap race and he led one lap? You know, they should get, like, okay, you each get 20 points for winning the race, and then you get, like, for every 10 laps or something, you get, like, 5 points or whatever. You know, that way you get some sort of justification for beating all those laps. And she's like, that is, I don't know why they don't talk about that or bring that up, but it's something they should. It's just hard to believe how many, because I'm from Indy country, so I'm 45 minutes from the, not today I'm not, but where I live, I'm 45 minutes from the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and I grew up around there, you know, speed weeks, and, you know, because where we are, they black it out, so you can't see the 500, and they replay it like 6, and, but I've always gone, so it's a lot of fun, and it's just a, the cars change from year to year, and safety gets better. And, I mean, now football, you know, players, you don't get that much because they may get hit in the head like American football, you know. But, like, very rarely do you have a sport where every time they get behind the wheel, they may not be coming home. And I remember when I was up here where I am now, and I got the phone call that Dan Weldon had died, and I'm like, wow, because I knew he was in a wreck. They hadn't aired it on TV yet. And they're like, you know, and I'm like, yeah, and Dan Weldon's dead. I'm like, holy crap. Yeah, it's not been, and that's like right after that they went on the air and they said, okay, folks, we just want to let you know. And it goes back, because I said this before, you know, do you have a pity party for him or do you, because I guess for him it was, the race would have been hard to go on because so much of the track was messed up in a way that, you know, normally when people have died before, whether it's, you know, like a Paul Dana or something, it wasn't during the race. Or, you know, it didn't affect the track. So, like Greg Moore's incident didn't affect when he died in 97, I think it was, 98. Might be 99, I forget. But when he was killed in that fatal crash at Fontana, it didn't affect the track. Where Dan Weldon's did, and I think that's one of the reasons why I think they really didn't keep going, because when some of that fence was messed up and stuff, you know, they just said, hey, let's, you know, it wasn't like out of the way. Because I think if Dan Weldon would have been wrecked in the infield or something to where it wouldn't affected the track, they might have kept going. Whether they did or not, I have no idea, but it's just exciting. And to see, you know, the way IndyCar, it's so different than NASCAR. And it's just one of those, you know, Will Power came in second, Tony Kanaan was third, Emil Cashneves was fourth, Simon Pagenaud was fifth, and my man Sebastian Bourdais is sixth. But it's... I love it because they let you get into the sport. They let you, you know, you get access and you can see things and, you know, and as long as they have time, they're there for you, you know. They'll answer questions in fine shirts, and especially at the 500 when the alumni are there and the old drivers and stuff. And, you know, I'm here all day long. They're in line. They're getting an autograph. I don't care. Some of them had obligations, and they had, like, media stuff, so they couldn't stay. But the ones that could stay, they stayed. And like, the one guy told me the one year, he goes, you guys paid for me to be able to do what I loved. I'm just paying it forward. I'm just giving it back. And, you know, and I actually got to meet Alex Tagliani's manager. I was like, that was so cool. But it's just one of those things that it's just a very people-friendly sport. They, you know, I think NASCAR would go off the air, or any car would, if they couldn't have prayer before the race. You know, if the U.S. military could not support one of the cars, you know, like a salute your troops car in IndyCar and NASCAR, they'd probably, okay, well, then we're done. You know, they will always do that. And they give back to the troops. I mean, most IndyCar races I've been to, all of them, and a lot of the NASCAR and stuff, they have, like, you know, where you can take a little letter and you write, hey, thank you so much for your service, and they send it off to the troops, and you know, and they're very good about that. And that's what I think resonates with me anyways, with IndyCar and stuff, is, you know, what they, it's just exciting. And they keep doing things year after year to make it even more exciting. You know, I think Penske's got himself set up. I think he's going to be a tough team to beat. I think Juan Pablo could easily win it this. He just looked on fire. He's back where I think he wants to be, doing what he loves. You know, he had a shot at NASCAR and tried it, and I think he just... It's very hard, and I mean, there were so many people that, when I was at a race one time, that was yelling, you know, he needs to go back to the push, you know, go back to Formula One or whatever. I'm like, yeah, I want to see some of the NASCAR people can't do Formula One, and some have, and, you know, do like the 24 Hours of Daytona, you know, some of them have, but it's not everyone's thing. You know, NASCAR is not everyone's bag, just, you know, it's... Just because you're a motorsports enthusiast and you've won in many different series does not mean you're just going to go in NASCAR and instantly win. It's not easy. And I think, you know, he's back where he likes to be, because I actually got to talk to him. I said, well, what's your favorite, out of all the things coming to the Indy, what's your favorite? And he goes, well, I think, you know, like the doing like the course racing and stuff, he loved a lot. And I think IndyCar really suits him, because he loves that style of racing, the open wheel racing, and he just loves the fact, you know, because he likes to do the racing on the courses and things, and, you know, he gets the best of both worlds, because it's not really Formula One, but it's close, and so... I'm just excited. I honestly think Chevy's going to win the engine, the manufacturer's competition, but then they're taking out Honda, so what do you expect? I mean, if Ford was in there, it wouldn't even be a competition, you know? But it would at least be close, you know? Even if Chevy wins, it wouldn't be like a blowout, you know, because it's 128-70, and I don't know. Chevy just seems to dominate in IndyCar. So, enough said. We got about a little bit less than five minutes left. And after this, I got a quick change, because my girl's got to get cut into, and she hates needles, so she's going to freak out. I got a straight jacket. I'm just kidding. No, but, you know, I mean, I've had a muscle biopsy, not what she's having. She's having the easy one. I had where they slice your leg open like 2 inches and they cut muscle tissue out. That sucks. And I don't wish, that's what they need to do. Like, okay, talk. Let me tell you, use that for terrorism. But anywho, as we move on, you know, hope all goes well with that today. And, well, we got God, so ouch. But, amen to that. But we had a bye week this week in the Premier League, and basically most of the players were, they do that from time to time because there are a bunch of international games. And if you watch the U.S.-Sweden game, it was 1-1. They played okay, but, I mean, they could have easily lost that game. There were a couple, holy cow, just a quarter of an inch the other way, and it probably would have, you know, on the angle, like a degree, one way or the other, and he would either totally missed it or it would have went in, and that's why there wasn't the Premier League, because a lot of the players were playing with national teams, and there's still so much rumor with Cristiano Ronaldo, you know, where is he going, what's he doing? I'm like, he's going to make that decision, you know, people just need to, I think, shut up, and if he wants to leave Real Madrid, he's going to leave. His agent told in an interview that he has no plans on leaving Real Madrid. So, who knows? 6 months later, hey, 65 million Manchester United. You know, I think that's way too much, but you know, whatever. If he decides, I don't think he's gonna leave. I think he's gonna finish his career out at Real Madrid, and that's enough. Maybe down the road, you know, when he gets to be up in age, he may come to LA Galaxy, you know, like everyone else does. You know, when they go to the, I call the MLS like the senior league. When you've made it in the actual leagues and you're getting too old to continue to play for like a Manchester United or Chelsea or Real Madrid or Bayer Leverkusen or something good, and it's okay, now what do? Let's go to the MLS. But then MLS still has a lot of great stars. Don't get me wrong, but it's just some of these really good players, it seems like they ended their career in the MLS just for something different, and I think it's great. But I think the way the season ends, I don't think the top four are going to change much. I think the top four are going to stay the top four. They may switch around, you know. So I think they'll switch, you know, like Manchester may be second, and, you know, Man City may be third or whatever. But I think the top five, the top four mainly, you know, with Arsenal and all that, are going to stay where they are. It's just going to be interesting in the off season when they're able to trade, what goes on with Man United. You know, are they going to keep De Gea or get rid of him? Or I hope not. But I mean, I think you finally get a team that's starting to gel and learn to work together and play together. And don't break that up. If someone wants to leave, then okay, grant them that leave. With about 90 seconds left, you know, keep the core you got and get them improving. You know, that's basically my bottom line. You know, just keep them going and doing what they're doing, and it'll all work out. You know, I think come next year, we're going to be a force to be reckoned with. And so, and that's something that I think was sort of like the Miami Heat was when they first got Dwayne Wade and LeBron James and all them. You know, they had to learn to work together. And that's what we're doing. And we're improving. And we're higher up than I thought we'd be. So I'm happy. You know, I mean, we're doing the right things. You just gotta stay positive, and you know, it's just gonna be interesting when they allow trading to happen to see if they pick anyone up or if anyone leaves or whatever, because that's gonna be the big issue, you know, come next year. But I honestly think we could get to third place, probably maybe second. I don't know if we'll win, but because the teams we gotta beat to move up are the teams that can win. That's pretty much it. Until next week, thank you so much. God bless you all, and good day. Take care. Bye-bye.